suddenly put him in book in the television.
I'll declare the meeting open at 7 o'clock, and thanks everyone for coming along. On behalf of Council, I would like to acknowledge that this meeting is being held on the traditional lands of the Noongar people and pay my respects to Elders past, present and emerging. I wish to acknowledge and respect local people's continuing culture and the contribution they make to country and its life. In accordance with Regulation 14L, is that?
I.
Or the Local Government Administration Regulations, this meeting is being recorded and recordings will be available on the Shire's website. Being present at this meeting, members of the public consent to the possibility that their voice will be recorded. This evening we have apologies from Kevin Dalton, our Manager of Projects, and Mrs. Jan Eva. Are there any other apologies that we need to record? No, if not, we'll keep moving along. So the item on tonight's agenda is the receiving of the Shire of Brookton 23-24 annual report. We have an officer's recommendation that we receive that report. Can I get a mover and a seconder for that? Moved at Councillor Bell, seconded Councillor Coppy. Does anyone wish to speak against that? If not, all those in favour? Carried. Now we can...
In presenting the 23-24 annual report, I just wanted to, which reflects the collective efforts and achievements over the past year. So I just wanted to point out some information in the report. So on page 7, which is the Statement of Financial Activity, it provides down the bottom of the 2024 actual column the 1.8 million, which was our carried forward surplus.
Is that page 7?
So that will be right at the back. So it's a 1.8 in our carried forward surplus. 85% of that was our advance payment of our financial assistance grants, which made up 1.2 million of that. And then we had some surplus for other major variances, which included the caravan park, as part of our fees and charges, and also our interest on our reserves as well. So that was a lot higher than we originally budgeted. On page 7 again, it provides details of the grant funding. So in the operating section, there's the operating grants, which was 1.7, and then in the investing activity, so the inflows was our capital funding, which was 2.1. So both these types of grants are really essential for us for improving the services and infrastructure that we provide to the community. Page 36 of the financial provides our rating information. So on that page provides information regarding our 6% increase for the overall total increase of rates to 2.7 mil. And it gives you a breakdown of both the UV, the GRV, and then our minimum and our rate in the dollar rates that were raised. So just to be clear, it was an increase in the overall rates rather than an individual property valuation. And that ensures that the rate increase is evenly distributed over all rate payers. Page 38 and 39 provides details of our borrowing and leases. So as at the 30th of June, our loan liability was a bit over $500,000, and $114,000 of that was from our self-supporting loan. So with most of those loans, the two loans that Council have mature in February 26 and November 27. We also have our lease liability, which is a bit over $19,000, and that goes through to 2035. There was a proposed $600,000 new loan for our effluent relining. That didn't occur in 23-24, and that's been transferred to this year's budget. Page 40 provides our information on our reserves account. So we do have a healthy reserve balance at the 30th of June, and that was 11.8 mil. Page 16 and 18 provide details of our major capital projects and our capital investments. So on property and plant and equipment in 23-24, we invested $2.9 million and in our infrastructure was $1.9 million. I'd really take, ask everyone to review the detailed report. It outlines our accomplishments throughout the 23-24 year. And includes the significant progress we've made since adopting the strategic community plan. And it just highlights our key milestones and the projects that we've completed in the last financial year.
Thanks, Dan. I'm now happy to open the floor to questions about the annual report or anything else.
Can I just ask, Dee, the immediate 11 mil surplus that you've got, that includes the 7-ish million of Kalkani.
So you're talking about the reserves?
Yes.
So the 11.8 mil, so that includes funds that were from the sale of Kalkani, but they're all distributed into different reserve accounts. Yep.
And on your page 7, your operating activities,
mm-hmm.
the actual grants
mm-hmm.
was 1.8,
mm-hmm.
but your budget 2.2. Is there a reason why it didn't come in on budget?
Yeah, so there certainly is. The main variance there relates to the Dr. Fowler or the DFES grant for the storm damage of the road. So we budgeted to receive that last financial year, but that didn't eventuate either, so that's transferred again into this year's budget. So that's the main variance. There's other smaller variances, but that's the main variance.
And how much is that?
It was 1.7, but because we received the advance of the FAGs, so the FAG grants, which I spoke about with the 1.2, so there's up and downs everywhere, but the main variance is the Dr. Farwell one for the DFES funding.
So that's still to come in?
It's still to come in. It won't be anywhere near
no,
that
it's not
amount.
1.7,
yeah. It won't be anywhere near that amount now because that was just an estimate,
yes,
really just a book entry for an in and an out, but that since has been gone through their criteria, and so then, yeah, that will be finalised shortly, we are hoping.
So we can get a figure for that?
It was around 240,000. So
oh,
it's really,
it's not
going to
go far, is it?
Well, they only reinstate the road to the pre-condition, so that they don't. There's no improvement on the roads. It's just reinstating them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, and the other one, capital grants, like this, $2 million difference in your budget to your actuals.
Yeah. So a lot of that is really in regards to recognition of revenue. So when we budget a project, we will budget for the complete revenue, but now under accounting standards, we can only bring in funds when we expend them. So we have to put them on our balance sheet, and then every month we have to do a journal that brings it into our revenue and into our book. So when there's projects that haven't been completed, like the Wheatbelt Secondary Freight, so we receive that the funding in the as per the conditions of the agreement, but if we don't do those works, we can't actually bring it in as revenue until the works are done.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Any other questions? Rosalie, do you wish to ask your question that you submitted to us?
Yes, but I didn't bring a copy. Could I have a copy of that? Yes.
Thank you, firstly, for sending that in ahead of time. That certainly makes things a bit easier for us.
My question relates to the erection of a sculpture in Robinson Road last year. I note that you put it as one of your achievements, but my question whether, in fact, it is an achievement or a diversion from more serious matters. So please advise the total cost of the sculpture, including the cost of procurement, installation, site preparation and landscaping. How many quotes were obtained for sculptures during procurement and how were those quotes assessed? was grant funding procured for this project, and if so, who was the funding body and what were the conditions of the grant?
Okay, so as part of the, so this is a, Gary's given me this information. So as part of the Robinson Road public toilets upgrade, the Shire purchased artwork for $13,000 for installation beside the toilet building from Mr. Grant Hobbs of Beverley. The total cost of the Robinson Road public toilet upgrade was just short of $124,000, and this included labour and overheads, plant and operational costs, contracts and materials, and the sculpture and indirect costs. The Robinson Road public toilet upgrade was funded 100% by the local government roads and community infrastructure program. As the project commenced, it became apparent that the cost of the upgrades works were going to be less than the grant allocation, and until this time the opportunity to install an artwork had not been considered. The decision to use Mr. Hobbs's artwork was made by executive staff after consultation within the Shire of Brookton organisation, and the Shire does not have a policy around suitable artworks or assessment for artistic merit. Shire staff were not aware of any Brookton-based commercial artists with the ability to provide an alternate artwork in a restricted timeframe. Mr. Hobbs' family's links to Brookton were disclosed at all stages of the project. The purchase was completed within the legislative financial disclosure requirements. But as a general comment, all artwork is non-essential, and while the Shire is aware of local residents who are not captivated by the artwork, the Shire is also aware of local residents who believe the artwork is a positive addition to the Brookton Town Centre.
Right. I don't really think it passes the pub test, given that there are pressing need for maintenance, for example, on the Matthews Rotunda.
And I'm not going to disagree with you. This was around a grant that needed to be acquitted for a particular project, and so that's what was done.
Shame. Any other questions?
I've got a couple of just general comments.
Cool.
Just going on. First of all, Dan was talking about the funding that we got for the flood that we had, or the road damage,
yes,
and the storm damage. I was just wondering, I haven't been down the Orkneys since Christmas, but I was going down there once a week. There's a crossing there by Ferguson's, and it was extremely dangerous, and I'm just hoping that it's been fixed. It had the signs up,
yep,
well, most of the time they were up,
yep,
and it said reduced speed, but there was times when it wasn't reduced speed. I actually had to stop the car, and I had to go to the other side because,
yep,
it would have just virtually wrecked the whole bottom of the car. I'm just hoping it's been done.
I'll let Gary answer the question, but the funding's only just been...
It's still with DFES for signing.
It's signed off, then the contractors can... So the tenders have gone out and come back, gone to DFES. So once DFES have signed off on that, the contractors can come in and do the work. So the works to reinstate those roads has not commenced. That is a long and protracted process that has frustrated not only us, the Shire of Beverley have been in the same situation.
It just seems to me, it's just like you said, it's just so long and it is extremely dangerous at certain times. It's very, very dangerous.
100% agree with you.
I've got a couple other comments, is that right?
That's fine.
Last year the roadside verge spraying didn't get done on rural roads, and which is really sad because it had been done and it was really a really great job. I'm just hoping that this year it will get done, because when it was done it made it safe. And it also, the other thing is all the tree suckers are all coming up on the edge of your roads, and if it doesn't get done, you leave it for a few more years, you won't be spraying, you're going to be grading and on the water tables too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep.
So we need to do that.
Yep.
It'll be programmed and it will happen.
Okay. So shouldn't that be programmed like every year? Why do we have to ask?
You shouldn't have to ask, and normally you wouldn't. This year we have a relatively inexperienced works group, and by the time that they recognised and went through the process to arrange for someone to spray, it was too late. So there's that, in the same way that
town
spraying of any weeds is quite a relatively precise thing. We can't do it too early and we can't do it too late.
Yeah.
So
needs to be, it just needs to be in there in your calendar of event of what you're going to do, and it's already done. I've got another comment I'd like to make too. Years ago, when Eric was on council, so I'm going back a long time, the staff, the councillors and some of the major staff would always go on a bus trip around all the roads, and also they visited all your major buildings, your hall and whatever. We haven't got a lot of them. And I just think, because particularly our buildings, which are our assets, they appear to be horribly neglected over such a long period of time. I'm just wondering if at some stage it could be reinstated where you walk across and you actually have a look, and then you know what the community's talking about. So, and that's what happens a lot of the time. We use these buildings, we make a complaint and say, like, the toilets are not flushing, or, you know, the oven doesn't work, but it is not going to anybody else to get the work acted on. And I know it's I know that's a lot of effort, and I know there's cost involved, but I just think to make it aware of everybody, you're all on the same level.
So Lynn, I've been on council long enough to remember the bus trips. We don't cover a lot of ground on the bus trips because we spend most of our time on Brookton Highway on the bitumen. So it is a challenge for us. We're not road construction experts by any stretch of the imagination. We have a 10-year works program that staff prepare for us, and we get detailed presentations in here of different sections of road and the challenges with them and the failings of them. So whilst we might not get on a bus and go and do that, we still very much get that information. But the other challenge that we have is the majority of us work Monday to Friday, so it is really, really hard for us to find a few days, because you can't do it in one, to get on the bus and go and do those road inspections. So we very much rely on the staff who have the knowledge and expertise to provide that information for us. Inspecting our public buildings, 100% agree with you that yes, we should wander over into the town hall, and we should wander up to the pavilion and have a look, and railway station for that matter. So.
Well, is it possible to, you know, get that put into your yearly events, and once or twice a year that's what you do on a certain council meeting day or something?
Yeah, it should form part of our budget process.
Mm, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's all.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I have. Getting back to, like, roads and maintenance, I emailed Gary on the 30th of May 2022. About a number of things. One of them, I said, this is point two, I've said I would like to add to Lindsay Eva's comments at the ratepayers' meeting, so this was 22, about the lack of guideposts on the Boygara Road. I find actually many of the local roads lack guideposts. Many of the ones that do have a guidepost in place lack effective reflectors. Some gravel roads do not have effective spoon drains to drain the water off. This was in 22. And so we ended up with all the damage that we did in 23 because there was nowhere for the water to go. Just a great big creek ran down the side of the roads. That was, you know, like I said, that in May 22, nothing was done. And now it's, you know, wrecked a lot of our roads, that next storm we had. I also pointed out at point three that a small section of the Boygara Road, about 3.5 kilometres east of the Beverley turnoff, is in a badly eroded state, and it is sealed. The road is getting narrower and narrower, it breaks away, and it's full of potholes. I showed it to Michael?
Yeah.
When he was here, but nothing's been done to maintain that section. Still nothing's been done to maintain that section, and now the same thing's happened to the Moorabine Road out sort of near Mervyn, Lockie Smith's place. The sealed road is disappearing. You know, if maintenance was done when it's a cheap fix, you know, like those sections of road, really, to fix them, you just about got to pull them up and start again. And it's a big, you know, it's like the town hall. Because of the lack of maintenance, the railway station, no maintenance. So instead of being a low cost all the time, it's a significant cost because there's no maintenance done on anything. You know, like, the buildings are an asset, but our roads are a huge asset of the Shires. you know, without people going and looking at them. You know, there's not even a sign on the Boygarra Road, you know, like potholes ahead or hazard ahead or anything. And that's been since May 22 and it's now, you know, 25. Nothing's been done.
Yeah, I'm not sure that nothing's been done.
Nothing's been done.
So
I can guarantee you nothing's been done.
So the shoulders been graded on that Boygarra Road?
The shoulders got graded. I'm specifically speaking about all the potholes in the seal.
Yep.
Nothing's been done. It's all full of potholes still.
The same potholes? Because once roads start to break up, they continue to do
well,
so.
I can guarantee you that there are many potholes, and I didn't count them.
Mm-hmm.
In 22,
yep.
There'll be twice as many or 10 times as many now as what there was in 22. That section of road, they grade the gravel in, sure, but the road was this wide. It's now this wide. You know, because it's not maintained, there's no maintenance done on the seal. It's a sealed road, and it's disappearing.
So what maintenance do you think we should have done?
Well, I'm, like Katrina said, I'm no road expert either. But if you're going to maintain a road,
mm-hmm.
surely someone on the shire has got the expertise to maintain a road. Filling potholes is a pretty basic sort of skill, I would have thought.
But then past that, the shoulders needed to be have been graded. You need to keep the gravel up on the edge of the road.
Yeah.
And then...
That has been done, and that was done... just before harvest, I think.
Yes, it was.
But that has actually caused a problem too, because the grader has, generally, in past years, the grader has brought the gravel up and actually left a little bit higher. So as the trucks run over it, pounds are all down. The grader left it more than level. So he's graded the top of the bitumen off in patches, which has made more pothole, well, not potholes,
but
edges.
But where that bitumen's not flat or level, then that causes an issue with the road as well. That's symptomatic of what you're talking about, the road breaking up.
But no effort's been made to fix all those bits that have been graded off.
But
bitumen that's been graded off.
But if we leave that proud on the edge of the road, though, that stops the water from draining away as well. So it needs to be flat and level with the bitumen to allow the water to drain.
Well, if that's
going to
happen after the grade has been along, the repairmen need to come along
mm-hmm.
and fix all the bits on the side of the road.
Or fix the potholes, because the sides of the road, especially when the road's narrow anyway, that's the bit that wears, that's when vehicles leave the road, particularly when they're passing, two vehicles passing on the road, that's when you get that wear on the edge of the road. And first off, the dirt and the gravel moves it, goes away from the edge, and then after that it breaks away.
Well, that's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. So we need to have kept grading up the gravel over time. And yeah, and if it's getting soft and there's potholes, that we can keep filling those potholes, but eventually the only way to fix it is to replace the road.
But if some maintenance was done, the road would last a lot longer.
I'd suggest, how old's the road? That section of road, do you reckon?
The road is basically in good nick.
Yep. And I would suggest it's lasted for a very, very long time, partly because the maintenance has been kept up to it over most of that life, and eventually the bitumen becomes cracked and brittle as well. And once it does that lets the water in and creates potholes.
But I'm saying, there's no maintenance done on those potholes.
You
know, why can't they?
We regularly do maintenance on potholes right out everywhere.
Well, they forgot about the way they are
running. And as part of this, we'll be able to have a look. And I'll ask my staff about that.
What about if we have an assessment of what it's going to take to bring it back up?
It's not just the Boygarra Road.
No, I
maintenance in general.
I understand
of
that.
All the shire assets.
Yep. I absolutely understand that.
Is there some sort of maintenance program for the buildings
yes.
and the roads?
We are introducing those maintenance programs right across our asset portfolios.
Mm-hmm. you know, I don't know whether Guy Teague was correct or not correct in saying that the rotunda couldn't be painted because it wasn't in the maintenance program and I have to go to budget. Is that correct or not?
We'd have trouble. If we wanted to get a painter to paint that, we'd have trouble getting the services of a painter. We've scheduled painting in a number of buildings this year and we will struggle to get the painter to finish them.
So I did say it would have to go into the
Yes, it does have to go into the budget.
Don't you have a maintenance man? You know, I mean, it's a coat of paint.
I wish it was as simple as getting a paintbrush out and putting a coat of paint on it. It's just not that simple, Lynn. It's not. So our maintenance man isn't the painter. We get a contractor in to do the painting so the painting is done properly. That's the challenge that we've got.
But surely if you employ a maintenance man should be able to do basic painting. It's not painting the town hall. It's a rotunda.
The rotunda's not a basic job.
But we have other maintenance required as well. The small number of buildings that got mentioned previously, that's probably incorrect. We've got 20 plus houses.
Yes.
We've got buildings including this one and others as well. We do a lot of maintenance. And if there's a suggestion that some of our maintenance hasn't been kept up in the past, we're now catching up with it or trying to. And the maintenance person we employ, he's responsible for organising that and making sure it happens. Some of the simple maintenance he does himself, like simple maintenance, but he doesn't have the time to spend several days in the main street painting the rotunda. He just doesn't. We're out fixing plumbing checking door handles and all sorts of other things all the time. We have lots of maintenance to do.
I know, I was talking to a girl in Perth today who comes through here. Mm-hmm. And she said, it's so sad, you drive into Brookton and it looks so neglected. You continue on down to Pingelly and it's lovely. You know, the street's lovely, the gardens are lovely. You turn left and you go to Beverley. Town's lovely, it's all maintained, the gardens are nice. You know, why can't we have maintained facilities?
Yep.
Why can't we?
We can, but at the moment we're struggling to provide that.
I know. The town looks extremely sad,
mm-hmm.
and neglected and unloved. You know, once upon a time, you know, I think you'd find nearly every townsperson here was extremely proud of the town of Brookton and what we had.
Mm-hmm.
You'd probably struggle to find too many people that would have confidence to say how proud they are of our town at the minute.
Our staff are working really, really hard, Lynn. They are working really, really hard and they are extremely inexperienced.
Well, someone's got to be looking out, aren't
they? In the parks and gardens.
That's right,
they didn't even get a try. Well, you know, Gary, you're their boss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm thinking about the Memorial Park
and
the pump failing without warning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, most pumps fail without warning.
Yep.
A lawn doesn't get in that state in a couple of weeks.
No.
Not even probably a couple of months. You know, that hasn't been watered. It was half dead at the Remembrance Service in November.
Mm. We were having issues long before the Remembrance.
The first pump failed in mid-October after the heat wave.
We were having consistent issues with the retic service, with the retic infrastructure in Memorial Park in September and October. Then we lost water we lost the pump for 2 weeks, over 2 weeks, that was in November. The main line from Happy Valley has broken 3 times in January that we've had to fix.
But the lawn was dead before then.
That water into town provides water for the school, provides water for the Oval, Madison Square, as well as Memorial Park. So, That's our retic is and has been for some time not well planned, fixed on an ad hoc basis, and was described in 2020 as not being fit to repair. You should replace the whole lot.
So it hasn't been replaced?
No, it hasn't been replaced. We've been.
It's now 2025.
Yep. And we will get to do that, but we've been fixing aspects of that. We've replaced the pump, we've provided water, improved the water supply to the oval, we've corrected the mistakes in the past, we've stopped the sewerage going into the oval tank, and also the units as well. There's been a number of things we've had to correct, and we struggle to have accurate records of where things are. And yeah, I actually think that some of the staff have done particularly well to keep things going under the pressure they've been under.
So if in 2020 it was recommended that the retic system be replaced,
yep.
When is it going to be put into a budget to be replaced?
So we're in the process of discussing that, and it comes with a significant price tag.
I could imagine it will, but again, it's a maintenance.
Yeah, so
we've got a big cost now instead of small costs.
Absolutely.
But in respect of our retic, the maintenance has been done. So when failures have occurred, there has been repairs and maintenance continually done on the retic. It's past its use by date, and so now we're looking at starting at the beginning and going all the way through and fixing every section so that everything is replaced and fit for purpose. But that comes a significant price tag, and I mean significant. So my question is, if the community wants green parks and gardens, and I want green parks and gardens, and I know what I have to do to my 6 square metres of lawn at home to keep that green and nice, that's on a much larger scale for the Shire, that comes at a significant price tag. And if the community is happy with that, then that's great. But that's the challenge for the people in this room, is justifying that cost and everything else that we've got going on.
I just have to wonder, how can all our neighbouring Shires have lovely parks and gardens and we've got what we've got?
Pingerley is struggling with their lawn. They've just had a special council meeting to put in a second holding tank to try and store more water to keep the water up to their oval. So I think they've got challenges as well. And I do acknowledge that Beverley don't seem to have too much trouble keeping their oval green by any stretch.
Not just their oval, but the town gardens as well.
Yep.
You know, we watered ours with Roundup down the street. And there went all our roses, you know. Like,
yes, that was unfortunate, yes. I do agree.
Well, extremely unfortunate. Yes. Who sprays roses with Roundup and think they're going to live?
Yeah.
Do your staff that do the spraying do their ChemCert course?
Yeah, yes. My understanding is yes. Yep.
So why haven't they been challenged with why they thought it was okay to spray Roundup all over roses?
I don't think they sprayed them all over roses, but last...
Takes a fair bit to kill a rose, and I can give you the tip, it takes a fair bit of Roundup, because I've had a little rose sucker at home. Mm. I've been spraying it for about 6 years, and I think I finally killed it.
12 months prior to that, we copped. We didn't look after our pavements, particularly in the main street, well enough, and there was weeds and lots of other things growing through. So... again, reactive without extensive planning and process in place. Certainly I made sure that the garden staff made sure that the weeds didn't come up on the pavements again this year.
Mm. And they didn't. For the hotel, it was terrible there and you were so...
Was outside everywhere. My office, I was weeding on a every morning basis.
It was everywhere. It was every road verge. It was everywhere.
So why haven't the staff got some sort of program? So that, you know, like, it gets done. They tick it off their list.
That's what they're working towards, Lynn. But when we've lost staff, those processes were never written down. So our inexperienced staff have not had access to that. So we've been rebuilding that information for them. And that's not That's not where we should be. We all acknowledge that. But that's where we find ourselves, and our staff are working really hard to put those calendar items and processes in place so that they know that what they need to do at what time every year.
That's quite staggering for you to say that, really, organisationally, such a large employer, that losing a key staff member could have such tremendous impact. Yep. and possibly a serious and financially detrimental impact, and in 2025 not have had processes in place to have, induction manuals and processes and all of that kind of thing.
That's all in place. So, in terms of the calendar of they need to spray or weed or do whatever in a particular month or fertilise in a particular month, that information just wasn't...
I find that remarkable. That you have a garden crew and that nothing was written down about what they should have to do.
We haven't. That's certainly my understanding when Joanderson left, and that was.
Yep. So who oversees the garden crew?
We haven't got anybody.
The garden crew are a group of three. And they have in charge of them a leading hand, a works coordinator, and a manager or an acting manager of works.
So he's not. You couldn't really say that he's doing his job then, because he should be reminding those staff that they should be spraying or they should be pruning or they should be whatever they should be doing at that particular time.
Yes, and
if he's not doing his job, then who's overseeing him? Someone's got to oversee all these people.
Mm-hmm. I also think you, with Rosalie's comments, you've underestimated the extent of the turnover that the Shire of Brookton has had in recent times. In terms
I think
of staff,
we're all aware of this turnover.
I don't underestimate it. I see it with my own eyes. All the local knowledge is gone, and clearly all of the operational knowledge has gone too. Because you're recreating it now, as you just said.
Considerable portions of that,
that
have gone. And
a business
given
with such a large, revenues and all that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
and not to have kind of systems in place, I think that's... That's a remarkable admission.
However, you've said, and we've got evidence, of long-term neglect in some of our maintenance procedures.
Mm-hmm.
It's no great admission to say that the railway station hasn't had any considerable maintenance plan or any great considerable maintenance done to it for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now... that is just one example.
And now
we have a high profile. Our Memorial Park looks extremely poor. 12 months before that, the oval was even worse. And 12 months before that, the oval was... So I arrived in January. I don't think I got water on the oval until September that year.
Yeah.
So we've had a number of issues that we need to solve. And we have a history, when you look at the railway station, of poor maintenance performance for some considerable time. This isn't new. We have, although we continue to have instances where we need to respond to urgent situations, but we have been working consistently to try and put in place those things again. Are we achieving it everywhere? No. Will we? I think we will in some time, but it's going to take time. The deficit that we are having to overcome is considerable. The staff are having to overcome. So of our retic and our pipelines around town, we don't know where they are. So we're having to pay people to come up and find them. So I'm trying to authorise we have a sewage pipe that runs underneath the railway line, and we need to have that certified as part of our licensing agreement and arrangements. We don't actually know where that is. Don't have a copy of the approval, so we need to go and find it. And essentially that'll be either thinking we roughly know where it is and dig around till we find it, or we'll pay for somebody to come up and use some equipment to find it for us.
All I can say is your bookkeeping records and stuff are bloody worse than mine.
I'm happy to give another example if you want. So we've talked about the flood damage and the process that we've gone through to try and fix that. As Deanne said, we needed to be able to prove the standard of our roads. Mm-hmm. Now we did that. Correct me if I'm wrong. That was 2019.
Yeah.
So we took video footage of all of our roads in 2019 and assess the condition of them at that time. That would have been sufficient.
With a staff and a consultant.
With staff and a consultant in 2019. After we had that flooding in 2023, we can't find the work that was done in 2019. We closed the office one afternoon and basically tipped everything upside down to try and find that data. We couldn't find it. I don't know where it is.
In 2019, I guess, you know, probably no one's
here. 2020 when we got the assessment on the...
Tamara and I were witness to the presentation with the consultant.
You not get a copy from the consultant?
No, he reckoned he didn't have it.
He what?
That's what he told us. That's all another, but didn't get us. I 100% agree with you, Rosalie. 100%.
The RETIC consultant who did the work in 2020, after I couldn't get water on the oval, I went and sought a reticulation consultant and he came out. I picked some guy who's I knew to be reputable. He came out. It was the day we opened the Queen's birthday, Elizabeth Memorial, and he came to town and we showed him around. We showed him our RETIC. And that was in the end of 2022. And he asked why he was here, because he'd been here 2 years ago and told us the same thing. And until that day, I didn't know the report had even existed.
So what can be done to get your record keeping better? Because, honestly, it is worse than mine.
Yep.
Yep. So we're making considerable changes to our record process, but that's from here on in. I can't fix these things in the past. I can't do that. So we are implementing processes from here on in, and that's right across the board for record keeping, for reticulation. We're making sure that what happens from now on in 5 years' time, when I'm gone, somebody will be able to find what I've done now. But that's not a luxury that's been afforded me. So I get to have these conversations with people where I'm extremely embarrassed and have to admit the Shire's responsible for a lack of maintenance in the railway station for 40 years and probably similar on the Memorial Hall.
Yeah.
What
it means is as electors and ratepayers, yep, our reasonable expectations of the standard of performance of council are in many areas, and I know there are some areas I'm sure financially Dee and is all over it and all that kind of thing, but there are many areas, visible areas, where our reasonable expectations are nowhere near being met.
Yep. Yes.
I'm just absolutely gobsmacked.
Mm. And I think that's the sad thing, because over those years, lots of people had come in here, and I think there was even a book you would have to write it in and say all these things that were wrong. But again, nothing got done. It's like the day that all the water poured in through the hall, right? What did we do? We came over and did it. It said about it, nothing got done.
Yep.
Like, you know, if that was your own home.
Yes.
you know, you wouldn't sit there and say, gosh, it's all flooded my lounge room, but don't worry about it, we'll just keep going. But that's what the Shire of Brookton is doing. They're not acting.
I don't think that's the case now.
No.
And I think we are acting responsibly and trying to do the best we can, but certainly I'm not able to keep the retent going on Memorial Park this year, for example. We tried really hard and couldn't do it. We'll replace it, and next year we'll replace it, I expect, relatively soon, and it's when we come into spring and we will have... new retic, we'll have reseated the oval, reseated Memorial Park, and hopefully we can keep that going.
So who will pick the lawn that goes on the Memorial Park?
We'll take it under advisement,
we'll
surely.
We'll take it under advisement.
For the experts.
Can I just let you know then that there's a new cooch out called Tiff Tuff. The Shire of Busselton have just used it to regrass the internal of their trotting track and a big, big nothing like Memorial Park. Big park out near Dunsborough somewhere. Do your homework on it. It's some new breed of thing. We've actually put it in our house in Busselton as well. It's supposed to use less water, be greener.
Tiff Tuff.
If you Google it, it's an American university invented it or something, another breed of.
Sure. So, if you know that the retic's got a certain life, can you budget that for the next time?
Yes.
And also, with regards to who oversees the roadwork when it's done, if it's main road like Great Southern Highway between here and Beverley, or if it's the other roads that need doing, once it's completed, is that assessed by someone as being to a certain standard?
So. Correct me if I'm wrong, Gary, but so Great Southern Highway and Brookton Highway is controlled by Main Roads, so the contractors deliver a contract to Main Roads and we have nothing to do with it. Our internal roads, they're built to a specification by a road construction engineer, and we build them to that, and that consultant is part of that process.
So if I felt that the Great Southern Highway wasn't being completed to it,
then ring a regional manager at Main Roads and everything.
And good luck with that.
There's this big bald patch of where the
where they're joining.
Where it doesn't join.
My suggestion is the regional manager at Main Roads in Narrogin. If you don't have any success with that, I would suggest your local politician like Steve Martin or someone like that. That would be my suggestion.
Well, Main Roads acted quickly last time I contacted them about the road.
Start there and see how you go.
Just reuse the keywords.
Yeah.
Major accident.
Yep, 100%. That's exactly how it works, unfortunately.
The entry statement on the west side here.
I have to get my bearings right. Yeah, so just out of town here, yes.
Brookton. The stonework, the thing is lovely. But they put a raised garden. Did you do that? That's fabulous. But then someone's gone and put a raised garden bed in front of it and put some bloody bushes in it, obscuring.
And you can't read it.
You know, honestly, you'd be better off to just bulldoze the garden out of the way. It would look nicer.
So you're happy if there's no garden there?
I thought when that garden was originally installed that it took away from the design of what had been done. And I do feel qualified to comment on that.
It's been there a long time.
It's still standing and it's very low maintenance. Thank you very much. So...
I meant the garden, Rosalie, not the brickwork.
If you took it away, it would not be detrimental to the appearance of it.
It would look better because you can see the beautiful.
And you wouldn't have to re-tick it.
I don't think it's
re-tick.
Have a look at that. But I do agree with you then, you can't. The garden
is a beautiful
entry
statement, obscured.
Yep.
And lastly for me, I'd like to know what collectively we can do to instill some confidence for the ratepayers and the residents of Brookton in our council and our town. You know...
Can I answer that one?
Yeah, please.
Go. I came onto council recently for exactly the same points of view, that there was a lot of deterioration and lack of payments and whatever. And since I've been on council, I have seen things a little bit differently because I know a bit more about what's going on. Gary and his staff are all new. They are doing their best, their darn best, to pick up the pieces from the people that have been there in the past that haven't done the job. So give him a chance. Give him a chance to finish what he's trying to do.
But we're here and now, you know, there's just no confidence. And you know, the town is sad, the town's people are sad, the town looks sad. And I'm sad. Like Brookton used to be such a vibrant, beautiful
and
little town.
And it will be again when all these things are fixed up. But it's going to take time and money.
Councillor staff are working really hard, and it's not... Councillor Cummings is right, it's not an overnight fix, and we're doing the very best that we can. If anyone thinks that we're not, join us in this room and help do that.
I'm leaving, so...
But my point is we are working really hard, and there are a number of really large projects, large issues that we're trying to deal with simultaneously, or Gary and his staff are trying to deal with simultaneously. I agree with Councillor Copping that they're not overnight fixes. They're going to take some time. And I think as a collective, we need to just be working together.
I actually think what is lacking, because people perhaps don't understand those issues that you're talking about, that the communication of council and the Shire to the community perhaps is lacking a little bit.
So what else could we do, Rosalie? There have been...
I'm an avid consumer of all the stuff that comes out, but so I would still like to know more about, you know, things that are working and not working and stuff like that. So
it's a really hard balance, because we're often on a hiding to nothing. So there is, and I'll be really honest with you, there are sections of this community that think our staff have to be 100% perfect 100% of the time. And if they're not, they're cut off at the knees. So every publication we put out there, we have to be so very, very careful with the wording that we use and our staff use, because we get absolutely smashed if the wording is slightly wrong, if there's a grammatical error, if there's a spelling error. So we get, no word of a lie, we get really nervous about what we put out because what comes back. So I'm happy to continue to do what I've done in the last 8 years, and that is continually provide more information. But what I need the community to do is have a bit of understanding and respect that our staff are working hard to try and get it back to the expectation that this community rightly has. So we can put out there that our retic is unsuitable, is not fit for purpose, all of those sorts of things, and we get unnecessary criticism. So I'm happy to cop that we're not doing it properly, but then it just goes too far. So we get, this organisation is really scared about what it puts out into this community. And that's really sad. We should be able to own our mistakes.
Can I just take that or comment on that, Katrina? Right at the moment, we have some stuff. We have our failings, and we've touched on a few of them tonight. But we have some staff who do an exceptional job in certain areas, where certainly Dee and the finance team, we were recognised as being in the top 20 local governments in WA, a situation we weren't certainly recognised before Dee came to the Shire.
We did.
Absolutely, we did. So there are some people doing some really good stuff. But right at the moment, one of the most important jobs I have is keeping that those staff positive. They, the way that some people respond to them around issues and things that they don't agree with, our staff get, I have to stay positive to stop a negative undertone with our shy staff.
Well, that's been a perennial problem, hasn't it? Yes. Mm.
Yes.
It's a perennial problem.
It is, yes.
And do you think you're the only shire that face that problem?
No.
Do other shires deal with it?
I would suggest that Brookton is right up there with, or perhaps not the worst, but is up there with rural councils who have a difficult relationship with their community.
Ooh, that's really interesting.
In a similar way, where perhaps you might have York some time ago, 2J still, where the relationship is often at times difficult.
There are always
and not everyone who really
exacerbate that
yes.
problem and are totally inflammatory. But there's also the kind of comment on council's performance, which is legitimate and which should be permitted in a democratic environment. And that's why I always get so cross when I hear people say, you can't say that about council, you're council bashing, when really we're giving feedback, which is, our democratic right, and without which you wouldn't know that electors are unhappy. But it seems to me that maybe it's a lack of, I think you're suffering from a lack of, you've lost the public's trust. Organisation over a period of time now, performance has been such that the general electors and residents and ratepayers feel like we've lost that trust which we had.
Yep, absolutely.
I think honestly that could be tamed back, and like Rosie said, it is not this room. It goes back a couple of CEOs when all the damage was done over a couple of different CEOs.
Yep.
The damage was done, the ratepayers and residents were just treated atrociously. Everyone lost faith with the council. Now you guys are picking up the sheep behind, trying to put the horse in front of the cart.
I would also query and perhaps ask you the question. Certainly, I've had difficulty in a number of areas in the community actually not getting on that well amongst themselves either. So some of our biggest, buy local is an issue, and by and large we try and buy local wherever we can. However, in recent times our biggest failings, we've used a local contractor to do work for us, and they've gone, as part of that contract, they've gone outside the town of Brookton to purchase things that were part of that contract. Now, that is the accusation that gets made to the Shire, that we haven't purchased local, but we used a local contractor and he went and got someone from outside. Why didn't you use the local bloke? No, we didn't.
I think that relationship between the community and council needs to be certainly worked on, because, you know, a number of occasions, just while I've been here, you go to community groups and ask for assistance, or do they want to be involved in this? You either get no response or they just say, no, we're not interested. So it's really difficult, particularly in the event side of things, where people are just, the community are not willing to work with council, and I think that's disappointing. And from a staff point of view, I think certainly going forward, I think, you know, we have to be really mindful of particularly our staff, because psychological welfare at work is prevalent and it will continue. And I think working for local government, we need to be really mindful of that. And yes, yes, we're currently areas we're not doing that well in, but, you know, give us a while. We can't change something overnight. That's occurred for the last 20 years. You know, it's really difficult. And, you know, I come in here and I don't need to work hours and hours, but I could literally be here well over, you know, 120, 140 hours a week and still not touch the iceberg of what I need to do. So it's really just what's critical, what needs to be done today, how am I going to get that done? You know, and my job is very regimented, where I do have time frames that need to, you know, things need to be done. But it's difficult. And, you know, it's really tough getting negative feedback from the community all the time.
It's sad. Like, I mean, it's really sad. Like, I know you get Dad Gary. I worked alongside your dad many years ago. And when I heard that you were the CEO here, I think I sent him an email or a text or something, and I said, I hope he comes to town with a big Band-Aid because the town's broke. And that's, you know, that's what you came to, a broken town. And, you know, like, we've just got to do something.
We can come back to your original question. It really is about us all working together. You know, council, this organisation, can't fix, and neither we should, be responsible for fixing everything. You know, we need to be working together and supporting each other. So our volunteer organisations need to be supporting each other. Our residents need to be supporting each other. And then they need to, you know, like, we can't be the fixers of everything either.
I think the issues that we've raised...
Yeah, no, 100%,
though,
yes.
..are properly the,
yes,
the
yes.
issues that should yes. be addressed by...
Yeah,
council.
But Lynn was, how do we... You know,
how
what
do we collect...
What's the collective look like? I don't know.
No,
because
I don't know.
Gary's right.
It's very sad.
It is sad when businesses are ringing Gary, making an accusation. We go to a local business to engage a contract, and then we get slammed because that business didn't use another local business. We can't be in control of those sorts of things. And, you know, I have always maintained we buy local where we can, and we should do that, but so should everybody else.
I was going to say...
Everyone else in the town
doesn't shop local.
No, but a large portion of those that don't are the first ones to have a crack at us.
That's right. Probably, yeah.
As Rosalie knows, that buy local's been going for as long as I've been sitting in this room.
Yeah. It's been
so
ongoing.
Do you know, so that adds to the challenges that our staff face. Is because they do stand there and go, hang on a minute, why are we being held to a higher standard than we're holding each other to?
Well, you know, I was talking to Gail McNabb
yep.
quite some time ago about the gardens around town,
yep.
and she said she offered to get a group of people together to, you know, tart up the town, and she was told, no, that couldn't happen because you're not professionals. Well, you know, like, I think if you've got a group of like-minded people together...
A lot could be achieved.
A very much a lot could be achieved.
That's probably commonly called a tidy towns committee, I would suggest.
But would they be allowed... You know, like, Gail was told that, no, you can't.
I think Gail was told that by a previous CEO that was...
And certainly...
...high risk.
We have some areas.
Yeah, that... Oh, your girl wanted to do things like in front of stumpies and those sorts
yeah.
of things.
Just gardening in front of stumpies, where if you take a step back to have a look at what you've done, like I certainly do in my garden, you stand a good chance on both sides of the garden of going underneath a truck.
Yeah, no,
that's an area where I don't want volunteers doing their work. Again, there would be options in lots of other places to do things, you know, set up gardens, do that sort of stuff. But then we have to have the ability and the resources to continue to maintain that going forwards. Because I, 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 I don't think that's fair to ask that of a volunteer group in any real sense.
And
you know.
And so any volunteer of council do need to complete all the required inductions, basically the same as a staff member would, to be able to volunteer.
So it's not insurmountable then, is what we're saying, but there's still... You know, I think that's some of the challenge for the community is how we operate in 2025 is not how we operated in 1995 or 1985. You know, we were... the community's local government and the regulations that we now operate under are so very different. And so are our businesses. That's exactly right. So, however, you know, something like a Tidy Towns group is... not unthinkable, like it's completely doable. But I do challenge everyone is, you show me a thrive, like all of our community groups are really, really, really struggling.
I was going to say, we struggle to get six people at the community garden once every Saturday.
But, you know, if there's an impetus to do it, then that's just a conversation with staff.
Doesn't that sort of go over to your team towns or whatever it is a little bit?
Brookton onward.
Yeah. Doesn't that sort of...
It is, and we are doing a project at the moment, as you know, which does address some of the...
It's a small community, kind of a group here and group here and group here.
Yes, but we also find it very difficult to bring groups together, to work together in the community. It's been... Last 2024 was an extremely difficult and hostile year for people trying to work with community groups together,
100%.
In my experience. And certainly not something that I would want to be part of going forward. And I think that's the other thing about your constant invitation, if you want to make a difference, join council. Well, some of us are not going to do that for various reasons.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
So we will make our contributions in our own particular ways where we can, and probably would be more effective than if we were on council.
Yes, I do agree with you.
So... Again, it's like the don't bag council. I think that's a kind of a hollow... You know, it's not for everyone to come and be on council either. So so when we are trying to contribute, I think what I have found that has really improved is Gary is a much more listening ear, and he's much more, like you've just pointed out, you will front up and say where there are shortcomings and also where you're making an effort and that kind of thing, and that's really, really welcome from the point of view of community groups. But Brookton really faces some huge challenges. Yeah, and we can't be the only shire that are like that, and so... You are the peak leadership body of our community, and so we do look to you for help.
And we won't stop. We won't stop being honest. We won't stop owning the challenges that we face. It is a challenge for staff and certainly for council when we do own those, and then the unnecessary or the overtop or personal attacks that come with that.
I've been subject to them. I've been an employee of council and I've been subject to personal attacks by people who see it as a sport.
Yes.
And again, that's one of the reasons why I won't come and be a councillor, because I do not have to lay myself open to that again. I particularly feel for all of you, but at the same time, if we have to speak up, if it comes across as criticism, well, that's because it's legitimate.
And happy to take that, and we often deserve it, 100%, Rosalie. It's the aggressive personal attacks on individuals that are unnecessary and unhelpful, and then make it really, really hard to get anyone to come inside these chambers, because just as you said, who in their right mind would willingly open themselves up.
Themselves to that again?
Yeah. Or even for the first time.
You wouldn't do it?
No. So all I'm saying is that as a community, collectively, we have to heal together, all of us. And I don't have an answer, Lynn. I really, really don't, other than we need to keep moving forward. Yep. And happy for you to come and tell us when we're not.
Well, it did in 2022.
Acknowledged, yes.
Nothing happened.
Yep.
So that's the sort of thing that, you know, yep. Things us off.
Yes, 100%.
One more last yep. thing, almost yep. last.
Yep.
The cemetery.
Yes.
Looks pretty blim and sad. Is that in the books to do something with it or upgrade the garden?
What would you leverage the wild oats?
Yeah, yep. Spraying.
Yep, spraying the cemetery.
You know, honestly, the cemetery is Brooklyn's biggest tourist attraction. Don't laugh, it is. Amount of people that come to this cemetery.
Isn't it interesting because in September, it wasn't that long ago, we got the condition of the cemetery was, we got compliments around the conditions of our cemetery. So, you know, turns on the...
It wouldn't have been in September because it
would have
been full of weeds.
Well, it turns on a dime. You know, there are times when people come in here and say, the cemetery's looking fantastic, well done, Parks and Gardens are doing a great job, and then it's not. So, we'll go down and have a look at it.
Yeah, and given that it's not, it is a dry cemetery, so we're down there semi-regularly, but what we do try and do is when there's an event at the cemetery, we try to make sure that for that event, the cemetery looks good. So we...
No, it looks pretty sad.
Yeah.
Mm. I made the comment...
It's embarrassing, actually. Lindsay Eden's funeral. Absolutely terrible.
I made the comment to someone when Ron was in the room. For those that don't know, Ron's my dad, he's 96 years old. And I said, oh, the bloody cemetery looks atrocious, everything's bloody dead down there. He said, it's a cemetery, everything's supposed to be dead. But I'm referring to the grass, not the bodies. It does look pretty atrocious. But again, they should be on someone's maintenance list. You know, you shouldn't have to be going down there.
Oh, no, I'm not going to.
Someone's job to inspect.
Yeah.
Someone should keep their eye on it all the time.
Yep.
And the other thing is that we've also added gardens in the last 4 years as well. So we might want to consider whether we've got appropriate staff levels to keep that up.
Well, you'd better off to have no garden than shitty garden.
Oh, 100% agree, yes, I do
half
agree.
Half of the stuff that's down there, it's native stuff, and I can understand the theory in planting that is because it's hardier and it's less water and stuff. But in all honesty, most native plants are actually not that attractive unless they're in a garden environment where they're getting a decent bit of water. And you are, it's like the entry statements here, you're better off without it. Same down there, it'd look tidier. All that crappy shit was pulled out, levelled over, leaves raked up because there's trees, and just sprayed and kept tidy. It would look much nicer than it is. That's my opinion, anyway.
If that's the standard the community wants at the cemetery, then I don't think you'll have too many arguments from in here.
Well, it would just look tidy without those untidy bushes there.
Yeah. We'll consider that. Thank you. Genuinely, thank you. Very much appreciate it. Any other questions? Yes. That's not the only street that's occurring on, where the trees are growing in the gutters. Yeah.
But again, that's
King Street is the same.
I'd like to relocate to
That's fine. All right. Any other questions? Thanks, ladies, very, very much for coming along. And with that, I'll declare the meeting closed at 8:15.